ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 We'll chant chapter 2, verses 62 to 66, page 141. Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsaha, Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsaha, Sangaste Shupajayate, Sangaste Shupajayate, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha. संगात संजायते कामः कामात् क्रोधोद्विजायते कामात् क्रोधोद्विजायते ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः संगस्तेषूपजायते संगात् संजायते कामः कामात् क्रोधोद्विजायते क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोहः क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोहः सम्मोहात् स्मृतिविभ्रमः सम्मोहात् स्मृतिविभ्रमः स्मृतिभ्रंशात् बुद्धिनाशः स्मृतिभ्रंशात् बुद्धिनाशः बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोहः सम्मोहात् स्मृतिविभ्रमः स्मृतिभ्रंशात् बुद्धिनाशः बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति रागद्वेषवियुक्तैस्तु रागद्वेषवियुक्तैस्तु विषयानिन्द्रियैश्चरन् विषयानिन्द्रियैश्चरन् आत्मवश्यै विधेयात्मा आश्मवश्यै विधेयात्मा प्रसादमधिगच्छति प्रसादमधिगच्छति रागद्वेषवियुक्तैस्तु विषयानिन्द्रियैश्चरन् आत्मवश्यै विधेयात्मा प्रसादमधिगच्छति प्रसादे सर्वदुःखानां प्रसादे सर्वदुःखानां हानिरस्योपजायते हानिरस्योपजायते प्रसन्नचेतसो याशुः प्रसन्नचेतसो याशुः बुद्धिपर्यवतिष्ठते बुद्धिपर्यवतिष्ठते प्रसादे सर्वदुःखानां हानिरस्योपजायते प्रसन्नचेतसो याशुः बुद्धिपर्यवतिष्ठते नास्ति बुद्धिरयुक्तस्य नास्ति बुद्धिरयुक्तस्य न चायुक्तस्य भावना न चायुक्तस्य भावना न चाभावयतः शान्तिः न चाभावयतः शान्तिः अशान्तस्य कुतः सुखम् अशान्तस्य कुतः सुखम् नास्ति बुद्धिरयुक्तस्य न चायुक्तस्य भावना न चाभावयतः शान्तिः अशान्तस्य कुतः सुखम् In 60, he talked about how the roving senses, how the turbulent senses carry away the mind. When a person, even a person who has knowledge, well-informed, a wise person who is striving, who is on the path, who is trying to establish himself, even such a person, the senses can take him away. His mind can be drawn away and then his intellect obviously will be drawn away, would have to be said. But instead of saying that, he talks about the sense control. So he says in 61, having controlled them all, he should sit focused on me as supreme. There's a reference to meditation. Before meditation, there has to be some amount of sense control. Even if you're sitting down here, there has to be an element of self-control. Otherwise, you can't even concentrate. And meditation is concentrated concentration. So how can a person who lacks self-control, sense control, practice meditation? So his wisdom is said to be established, one whose senses are under control. So he talked about sense control. I have mentioned this before, sense control does not mean sense denial. it is not sense denial, it is not sense regulation either. Agree with me? One can only contact the sense object once a week, any particular sense object. But if that one particular week, day on which he contacts it regularly, he is denied, he will be agitated. So sense control has got nothing to do with denial or regulation. Sense control has to do with awareness while contacting. You can't say I have control over a sense object, for example cigarette, when you have no desire for cigarette and you don't smoke therefore, and you say, well, I am very well controlled with reference to cigarette, I have no desire. When a person has no desire, what control are we talking about? But the same person may be going berserk when he or she is shopping without any control. You understand? So control means you should have a desire and contact. The object should be in front of you, or at least you must have the capacity to contact it, and you contact it, but you have discrimination governing your contact. You have awareness governing your contact. Then it is sense control. To develop sense control, one can practice regulation, intake of knowledge, to build the awareness. But once the awareness is built, then it's not the number of contact, it's the contact with awareness that determines whether you have self-control or not. Now in 62 and 63, very off-quoted verse in this portion, both the verses talk about how a human being falls. The ladder of fall, we call it. How does a human being fall?
The waterfall?
Fall. How does a human being fall?
Ladder
of fall. Ladder of fall, yeah. How does a person collapse? How do we lose the status of a human being? Though we are born in the species of human being, do we really maintain the status of human being? Or how do we fall? He talks about that in 62 and 63. We'll chant them together. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha, sangasteshu pajayate, sangasteshu pajayate, sangat sanjayate kamaha, sangat sanjayate kamaha, kamat krodot vijayate, kamat krodot vijayate, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha, sangasteshu pajayate, संगात संचायते कामः कामात् क्रोधोद्विजायते क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोहः क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोहः सम्मोहात् स्मृति विभ्रमः सम्मोहात् स्मृति विभ्रमः स्मृति भ्रंशात् बुद्धिनाशः स्मृति भ्रंशात् बुद्धिनाशः बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति क्रोधात् भवति सम्मोहः सम्मोहात् स्मृति विभ्रमः स्मृति भ्रंशात् बुद्धिनाशः बुद्धिनाशात् प्रणश्यति ध्यायतो विषयान् पुंसः. विषय मीन्स् सेन्स् ऑब्जेक्ट् वर्ल्ड्. विषय ध्यानम् इट् टॉक्स् अबाउट् हौ डस् द होल् कोलाप्स् स्टार्ट्स्. इट् आल् स्टार्ट्स् आफ् वित् विषय ध्यानम्. Thought of the sense object, when the mind muses over the sense objects indiscriminately. So he says, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu upajayate. Sangha means attachment. So it is not sitting in front of the object, or it is neither sitting away from the object, but if mentally a person repeatedly thinks about an object, then an attachment is formed. Right? Huh? When you pour water constantly on a particular point or on the floor consistently over a period of time, a mark is formed. Are you with me? So, when your thoughts run from you to the world outside indiscriminately, consistently, then you develop attachment. Sangas teshu dachayate. Once sangha is there, then comes what? Sangat sanjayate kamaha. From attachment comes kama. Kama means desire. Now I must possess it now. The desire is there, I must possess that object. Once you say desire, means what? Until the desire is fulfilled, you will be agitated. Desire means agitation. Unfulfilled desire leads to mental disturbance, agitation. Right? So, dhyayato vishaya an pumsaha. Vishaya dhyana. Vishaya is outside you. Atma is inside you. Theek hai? So, he is saying vishaya dhyanam leads, constant vishaya dhyanam leads to attachment. Attachment further leads to desire. When attachment becomes desire, now you are not going to be happy without the object. Sangat sanjayate kama. Kamat krodo dijayate. Once a person has a desire, from desire, he says, comes krodha. How? Krodha means anger. How does anger come from desire? Desire is the root of anger. How?
Frustration, you are not getting. You don't get the desire. Fulfilled, then you get.
See, your thoughts are running from you to the object. There is a thought current. Some situation or some person or something comes in between you and the object. Okay? He is coming, or the situation is coming, or the person is coming in between you and the object. The thought current is deflected. The thought current that was going from you to the object is deflected by the person. So now it is going towards him. The deflected thought current is called as anger. So when you are angry, please understand, the other person has not made you angry. The other person has not caused your anger. The other person only, what? He was only a conduit in surfacing your anger. Anger is the other side of desire. Okay? It is there, latently sitting in you. He came or she came and made that anger come out.
So because you had desire,
expectations, that gives you frustration when you don't achieve it. And those people who you believe are those who interrupted you from achieving it, you develop anger towards them. So it's nothing but a deflected thought current.
Your
thoughts. So by taking away that person, by taking away that person per se from the scene, doesn't mean you will be free of anger.
So that person which is causing me
anger. Or drinking a glass of cold water. Temporarily it can help you when you leave the scene. When you drink a glass of water, probably. But permanently, the solution is what? Going to the root cause, what is the desire, and dealing with it. No, first, yeah, you can. But first, let us see the entire, translation. Then I'll get to you. So, dhyayato vishayam. So, how does it start? Vishaya dhyanam. Vishaya dhyanam leads to attachment. Attachment leads to desire. Desire leads to anger. Then krodha bhavati sammohaha. Krodha means anger. Moha means delusion, madness, idiocy. Moha, delusion. You know moha now?
Moha is not attachment.
Moha is attachment is because of delusion, and delusion is because of attachment. Now you see, in delusion, you lack clarity. You lack direction. Isn't it? So, sammoha means what? Moha means delusion. Sammoha means PhD in delusion. Well established in delusion.
Sammoha.
Yeah. Sammoha is this. When a person is angry, he is in such a delusion, he doesn't know to whom he is talking, what he is talking, his hands are also shivering, he is not able to stand also. He, you know, it's a total madness. That's what it means. Anger is nothing but temporary madness.
Leads to irrationality.
It is. So, sammoha smriti vibhramha. Smriti means memory. When you are deluded, you lose memory. Smriti bhramshad buddhi nashaha. When memory is lost, buddhi is lost. Capacity to discriminate, think. Yeah. Buddhi nashat pranashyati. When buddhi is lost, everything is lost, is this. What is that which differentiates between us and the animals? Why are we not animals? We are also like animals. What differentiates us from the animals is the buddhi. When the buddhi is lost, we are worse than animals. Because at least animals have brute power. No, we don't. So, buddhi is the most important thing to maintain the discrimination and awareness in every situation. Every minute, whatever you do, you should be doing it. Not that you should, you are led to do that. That's all it is. See, it is not how long we live in this earth, that, on this earth, that matters. How we live. Adi Shankara lived, I think, only 32 years. Ram Tita lived only 32 years. Vivekananda lived only 39 years. It is how consciously you live. You see, now we have class for 1 hour 15 minutes every week. In this 1 hour 15 minutes, I know you are here physically. But how much are you here totally, I don't know. That's why we say, are you with me? You know, in your lecturing sometimes. Where are you? Meaning, you should be there taking the call, leading your life, deciding every minute. Somebody offers you something, you say yes or no. You have only choice to say yes or no, but the consequence you will have to face. But have you made that choice, or were you made to make that choice? A lot of times, if you see, we are not there making the choice. We are not there calling the shots. Objects. Typically, like a person determines in the morning, no more alcohol. Evening, slowly one fellow comes in front of him, pours a little bit. Then, okay, today is the last day. You understand? So what is happening? When you go in front of the object, your dhyanam, your thoughts are pulled by the object. Then attachment comes, desire comes, and it all happens so fast before you realize. This is with reference to one thought itself. Now we have billions of thoughts that has gone towards the world. Yeah, now you can ask.
I was just thinking a hypothetical situation which may apply to all of us. Let's say, assuming we have good intentions in a certain situation, we do our best, our duties, and the person, say, gets angry or keeps on finding fault. It's just a hypothetical situation, nothing to do with me. Then one gets anger. Now, where is the desire in that quality? The desire is, I'm just trying to think, the desire is that
you have a desire that others should understand you. Of course.
The desire for peace or...
But,
so
I
just say I'm right and I'm good.
No, but let's take
your say.
You see, either it is a desire to get appreciation. Even if they don't appreciate, you may get agitated. Even if they don't appreciate, you probably are okay. But on top of it, they are criticizing you.
Not even appreciation.
Yes. Basically, there is some expectation.
Yeah, so
if there is no expectation, there is no anger.
So that much of letting go of expectations,
yes.
That one is doing all his duties, and come what may, whether the other person is doing very obviously wrong things against you, yet you must, one must not have a desire that the other person should understand you. That desire should also come.
I think even doing the duty has to be self-aware.
See, we are talking about your anger. We are not talking about somebody else's anger. You have consciously done something. Once you have done the action, your role is over there. Thereafter, how it is accepted by the rest is not in your hands. Right? Now once you have put the ball in their court, they are not going to kick the ball. Before they kick it, why are you running this side or that side? You see, when you play cricket or soccer, whatever game you are playing, they tell you, you watch the, for example in cricket they tell you, as a batsman, you are supposed to watch the hand of the bowler, the bowling arm, how he is holding the ball and how he is going to deliver. Before that you judge, yes, the ball is going to come here only, then obviously you will be taken by surprise. Maybe once in a while it may be as you thought, but otherwise you are going to miss it. So you are not consciously totally available there. So you understand what I am saying? Once you have done your duty, what was in your hands, now the ball has been kicked by you. Now it's going to be kicked back by the world. Now they may kick directly to you, they may kick somewhere else, to your left, to your right. So you should be just be alert, watching them. Then if you see them kicking that side, then you run that side. If you see them kicking this side, you run this side. If you see them missing the ball, then you go and deal with it accordingly. Are you with me? But in desire, what is happening is, you have kicked the ball and you are expecting them to kick it this way. You see, that is where the problem comes. Are you with me?
No, I haven't understood. You've done the duty.
Forget the duty part of it now.
Without any desire.
Forget the duty part of it. No, forget the duty part of it now. Cooperate. You have kicked the ball.
Yeah,
now, 1 minute. Now they are supposed to kick it. They can kick it directly to you. They can kick it beyond you. To your left, to your right. So what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to be alert, watching them carefully. So when it gets, if it goes to the left, you go there and meet it. If it goes to the right, you go there and meet it. Are you with me? Instead, you are expecting them that they should be kicking there only. And that expectation, when it goes wrong, you are getting angry. So when you do your duty also, same thing. You have only choice with reference to what you have to do. Having done that, they can appreciate it, they may not appreciate it, they may criticize it. All possibilities are there. But if you add some expectation, that means your thought has gone outwardly, not aware there totally. And to that extent, there will be anger. Now, having said this, when somebody shouts at you for no fault of yours at all, or even if it was your fault, they have no right to shout at you.
Then how do you handle it?
I'm coming to that. Please understand this. You deserve respect merely because you are a human being.
Yeah.
You should stand up for your self-respect. Please understand this. Simply because you are a human being, you deserve respect. Even animals deserve respect. Even you deserve respect. Nobody is supposed to treat you like a not needed person. So therefore, what are you supposed to do? They have poured venom on you. Right. Now you decide how you are going to deal in the situation. You can say no thank you and move away without reacting. Or you can consciously say, take it all and give it back. Are you with me?
Take it all and give it back?
Take it all. You take it all, you are saying, and you are giving them back nicely, but so consciously. Then it is not anger. Please understand what I am saying. Anger is a reaction. It is not a response. When you consciously give back the response, it is not anger. It is using the temper. Anger is losing the temper. Losing the temper happens when you have expectations. Using the temper may happen when you have awareness. And sometimes you may not be using the temper. You may say, okay, this fellow, let him give whatever he wants and I am not going to take it. And you just move. You've shown your non-acceptance. And you moved. But you probably didn't shout back. See, response can be in many ways. What I am trying to say is, response may be you silently move away. Or you just say, I'm sorry, I don't agree with you, and move away. Or you give back to them nicely, tit for tat. Still it will not be anger, as long as it was underlined by awareness. That's my point. If it was not underlined by awareness, then you are reacting. They call you a monkey, so you call them donkey. You understand?
Yeah, it was trying to see also what you are feeling, to be aware, like, what is this anger getting, what response is it getting? Suppose I behave a certain way, the person is shouting at me, but what is the response it is getting in me? How am I feeling at that point of time? And sometimes, as you said, sometimes it can be silent, but it is irritating me.
See, in fact, many people, they may not express their anger,
but
they are angry.
Yeah.
So this is what I am trying to say. Anger is a reaction. It's got nothing to do with expression.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you analyze yourself.
So without reaction, if you express, it's not anger. But with reaction, you don't express, still it's anger. In fact, a lot of people do that, and that is even more dangerous. Because they are pushing their anger, they are suppressing their anger. That's why I am told in some of the corporates, huge big corporates, they have rooms, you know, where when people get frustrated, they can just go inside those rooms and lots of glasses and things are stacked. They just take it and break them, it seems. Throw it on the walls. Take the frustrations out.
I believe they have the activities of the process. Punch them.
But you know, these are things that are temporary remedies. At least you are not pushing it inside you. You have taken it out. But you are not going to the cause of it. If you still continue to keep your dhyanam outside, not on the atma, then there is going to be desire, there is going to be anger, there is going to be all these things. This is the point he is trying to say. One is Ishwara Dhyanam. Ishwara means Atma Dhyanam. Or the other one is Worldly Dhyanam. All the time. If you are all the time constantly thinking about the world, your thoughts are running towards the world indiscriminately, you are collecting more and more desires. The more desires, more anger. And more anger, more loss of memory, intellect, all that happens. So how does the whole thing start? It all starts up with one thought. Like they show in Bollywood movie also. The hero would have gone to some party where she would have come. First time he saw her. Right? And then the fellow comes home. Her mother is serving food on the plate. Before the food is served, he's seeing her on the plate. Listen. He goes to wash his hands, He sees her on the mirror. Everybody is seeing. What is this? She is gone somewhere. Probably she is married and or maybe died. Something has happened. You understand in between. But this fellow is carrying her. In other words, this is called as attachment.
Sammoha.
Attachment.
Attachment.
You went there. You saw the object. Now you have carried the object in your mind. Attachment ho gaya abhi. Are you with me? Now the problem started. Now even he is not able to sleep. He is constantly thinking of her. Then he wants to now slowly go and find out who she is. Where does she reside? Is she married? All this. Now desire starts. Then the desire comes that she should be married to me. I should be married to her. Are you with me? And then suddenly one fellow comes and they say, this guy is going to marry her. He gets angry with him. You understand? This is how the whole thing happens. Then he is deluded by the desire. He can even go to the extent of murdering him or murdering her. All this you see in the world, right? How did this whole thing happen?
Here he is being deluded by desire for what he likes. I think that's also deluded by the somebody negative. They are carrying that also in the same way. Something negative which comes in front of
you. Any attachment.
That is also same attachment.
Any attachment. Somebody called you. Somebody called you some name.
Yeah, donkey. And that is sad.
I'm saying something. Somebody called you some name.
Yeah.
Now, like in Othello, Iago, what's the name? Othello calls Desdemona, uses filthy language. Now she says, am I that name, Iago? Am I that name? Am I that name? Am I that name? So, this is what I was saying. Attachment.
Yeah, attachment.
He said something, you carried it. You had a choice then and there to be say, okay. This is their privilege. You remember the Buddha story we spoke about? It is their privilege to offer what they want to offer. It's your privilege to say no, thank you. Now you carry it, then you suffer. So whatever it is, how the whole thing happens is, when you meet an object, if you are not conscious, you let your thoughts go indiscriminately, then attachment forms. So you got to nip it in the bud. If you don't, then you have some amount of possibility of dealing with it when you have attachment. But once it has become desire, very difficult.
One question I have is that, okay, a situation where absolutely no, nothing coming from within, I'm trying to think of a situation, you know, no desire leading to anger. So, say any person on the street or something, and someone is really treating someone very badly, a helpless person, then anger comes. So would that anger also be out of desire?
You see,
anger comes to that this is horrible, unfair, and you help or not help in one situation, but
injustice,
any form of injustice, outright injustice, then that feeling of anger comes. But you're saying that if that is also with awareness, then that's not reaction.
Yes, that if it is out of awareness, it's not reaction. Yeah. If it is not, for example, road rage.
Yeah.
Somebody just touched the car, not much of damage. But you still get into that road rage and you go to the extent of finishing the fellow. Now, what is all this? It is actually very interesting. What happens is, once you have so many areas in which your anger has been suppressed. So one area when you get a vent and let loose, you understand? It was just a small, probably a small desire, right? But he hurt your ego in front of somebody. He said something. How dare you talk to me about it? You just got down, and then in the spur of the moment, what has happened is the thing has opened up. Now the whole thing comes up, and the pressure is released. The built-up pressure. Everything comes. That's what happens sometimes. You wonder, why did I behave like this? You know, with a servant. For example, in Bihar, somewhere, I think in Bihar only, they showed in a news channel, long time ago, one fellow stole some jewelry or something from somebody. And the people caught him and they beat him to death. Beat him to death. I don't know how much that jewelry would have costed, maybe 5,000, 10,000 rupees, I don't know. And they went to the extent of murdering. How this happens? It is nothing but the pent-up pressure. When one, you know, opportunity you get, it just comes out fully.
Just one more. Recently it came that some, for no fault or something, chop off the arms of someone in a village.
That's what I'm saying. That time there is no discrimination, no awareness, total delusion that fellow is in. If he had little bit of awareness, he wouldn't have done it. As far as that person is concerned, he or she, when the person is in rage, they are mad.
What is a victim? That victim, when you have instances like this happening all the time, everywhere in India, especially in the religious, what does a victim do then?
See, this is what I'm trying to say. The victim has to stand up for his rights, stand up for his respect. You must, okay, it all depends. Like, if it means you have to run away to escape yourself, you run away. If it means you have to fight with them, you fight back. In a society also, you must put these things up. You should make sure that you stand up. How dare you talk to me like that? Not suppress your anger. Suppression is not the solution. Definitely not the solution. By suppressing, you may say, oh, I've got a, okay, I can't talk like this. And then you suppress. Then one day you find yourself murdered somebody. Or you let loose on somebody else.
So how do you handle that suppression? Suppose you do suppress your anger, how do you handle it?
You must...
Courage to stand up for yourself.
That is one thing. The other thing is you must... See, there are two, three things. One is a disciplined life helps to retain your awareness. Yoga, pranayama and all these things build your awareness. That is one thing. The second thing that you are supposed to do is this finding out the analysis that yes, I have this weakness. I have this desire. Acceptance of anger. Right? I have this problem. Acceptance of my level, that yes, I am a person who can lose my temper, right? And then in that area, I must start building my intellect. Generally also I am building my intellect, and in that area also I should build my intellect. Like, if these are the areas that I am getting angry easily, then I must use my thinking there and find out what is my expectation, what is my desire, and deal with it. Both simultaneously will help to conquer anger. Just merely breathing is not enough. Are you with me? Merely running away from the situation is not enough. So how to conquer anger is only by developing the intellect, by developing the awareness. And how are we building the awareness? The whole exercise is building the awareness. First and foremost, I am angry, there is a problem within me. This is the first thing that you are supposed to do if you want to conquer anger. No, Swamiji, I am all right, you know, I never get angry. Ask them. Only that lady, you know. Only with reference to that lady, I lose my temper. No. That means that lady is the one who is a good lady as far as you are concerned. Because she is touching that point. Everybody else is not touching that point. They are touching other points. Anybody who touches that point, you are getting angry, and that's the only lady touching that point. Are you with me? So basically, everybody who justifies anger, alcohol, whatever weaknesses it is, the moment you are justifying, you know what, tomorrow, I can leave it from tomorrow. He justifies, rationalizes it and justifies it. That means he can never conquer it. First thing, yes, I have a problem of anger. Accept karke, that itself is awareness. Light has fallen on the anger. So when the anger comes, just watch the thought. Just watch it. Initial stages it's possible. Later stages it's become very difficult. You understand? You're like, you're going like that. So you watch the thought. Okay, then as you watch, you will see it's reducing. As you watch. When it becomes too much, where you say, okay, I might say something or I might hurt them physically, leave the scene. Leave the scene and take it out on a soft target. Take it out on a soft target. But understand, it's got nothing to do with that person or situation. It's to do with me. So you understand the steps. Step number one, acceptance of anger. It's within me. And this person is touching that point. Therefore, instead of getting angry with that person, I should actually be grateful to that person. Step three.
Be grateful to the person.
Yeah. Step three. Observe the anger as it rises. The observation helps. The observation itself reduces the anger. Not suppress, but reduces the anger. But when it becomes too much to handle, you can, when you feel that you can create some damage to the, you know, person or the scene, you leave the scene and take out the frustration on a soft target. For example, like a pillow. No, something like that. Or you can, you know, one more thing you can do is you can convert that energy into, like, take some physical work of cleaning your bathroom or your vessels or ironing. That energy should be taken out physically. Or go for a walk. You understand? Sweat it out. Yeah, releases. But having done all this, then you come back and analyze what went wrong. Right? This is with reference to that particular anger. Generally, how you deal with anger is through yoga, pranayama, through a disciplined life. That also helps. If you have a sadhana every day, you do that sadhana. Right? Which includes study of the scriptures as well. Because scriptures are going to be talking about Atma. You are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not the intellect, you are the Atma. So constantly your thoughts are taken towards Atma. So that everyday schedule sadhana you continue. Along with that, this specific thing that I spoke about. What are they? Acceptance of anger as a malady that is within me. And this person has only brought it out. So I should be grateful to that person. Then third, observe as the anger rises.
Second,
being grateful.
Does that happen immediately? I mean, you're angry, you'll be okay, and thank you.
Then in the beginning, when you see your anger coming and you're like, see, if you're not aware, you don't know what you're doing. You'll do everything. I'm only saying the moment you say, yes, she's saying something, now I'm getting agitated, but that awareness is there. I'm saying that time, okay, cool, relax. In fact, that time they say even breathing helps. Take a deep breath in. It helps. And try to recollect these points there. And then be grateful there. Temporarily, right? Okay. Cool down. And then you leave the scene if it is too much. And take it out on these kind of ways. Go for a walk. Something physical. You understand? Something physical. And then you sit down and analyze. When you are cool in the early morning after your study, what was the situation? How I could have handled? They were saying something, how I could have handled? What was the better way to handle? Think about it. Later on. Not at that time. But generally everyday sadhana should continue. Getting up as early as possible, studying, reflecting, going for a walk, yoga, pranayama, all these things generally when you do, and then you do this, it helps.
Analyze.
A healthy lifestyle coupled with this. Analyzing in that particular area.
You also analyze what my expectation was for that has got the
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That is what analysis means. What did he say? Why did I get angry? How I could have handled? All these things from different angles.
So analyzing your desire leading to that anger.
Yeah.
But analyze only yourself. Not he, oh, why did that person feel?
That's what I'm saying. First step itself, you have accepted it's within me.
You got nothing to do with.
Yeah.
But if somebody is rude or shouting at you,
I think it
must respond back. You cannot.
Response can be in many ways. Response can be silent and saying no.
My question is, when you were that soft target, then what?
You see, if you are the soft target, you will suffer. If you are not strong inside. See, for example, if you are a stronger person and somebody comes and takes out their frustration with you, you are able to take it, absorb it like a sponge. Right? But you are also weak. And their frustration they are taking on you, and you do not know what to do. So you should also handle that situation by not allowing them to do it on you.
Like when the children, supposing they come and even if they are frustrated and they come, it doesn't affect you. Because you know that that child is being okay, whatever. So the same, maybe for the child at time you are the soft target, but it doesn't affect you.
Because you are a strong person.
Strong person, when it concerns, like it won't affect you. You understand.
And you understand where it's coming from.
Yeah, you understand
from
where
it's coming from. That's but the
meaning. That is what makes you strong, na?
Yeah.
That is why we say you are a strong person.
Yeah.
If you are a strong person, then you will be able to take it. If you are not a strong person, the very fact that this question is coming means that you are not a strong person.
No, anybody.
It can be their frustration.
We are.
What I'm saying. So you need to deal with it. You know, if you, like Shakespeare says, be soft but firm.
I think we should do that.
You must make sure. I told you that day when we discussed, I told you, right? I gave you like an example of where in a family we used to play cards during the weekends and they expected the women to serve them, you know, the other beverages and things like that. But this lady said, excuse me, this is not my duty and I'm not doing this. I'm not saying you should do it, you should not do it, that's up to you. But just because I'm your wife doesn't mean I have to do this. This is not my, part of my duty. The other area, she's serving him. Whatever as a housewife she's supposed to be doing, she's doing. But this is not me and I'm not doing it. She put the foot down. When you put your foot down in the beginning, it's going to be a little bit of difficult.
No, Avanti said something very interesting. He said we need to do a reconditioning course. In the sense, because we've all been conditioned
to just like,
you know, exactly. It's so amazing that yesterday I had this Ayurvedic doctor come. I'm telling you, every time I come to class, there's something I'm dealing with which is disgusting. So he comes and he tells me, he says, you have a lot of anger in you, and I'm looking at him. You know, whoever. He said, you have a lot of anger inside you, which is what is causing your problem. And I'm like, okay, so how do I deal with that? So he's telling me, you know, what to eat, what not to eat. And he kept telling me, you're a very angry person. I'm looking at him, not a very angry person. I do have a reason. He says, you have a lot of anger inside you.
But you know what you said, I think last class, I don't remember when you said it, but you said something about that it's when, supposing some situation comes in front of you and you don't, you are angry, it's affected you, it's bothered you, but you've not responded. So actually what makes you angry is not necessarily the situation.
You didn't have the courage to be firm,
you didn't have the courage to stand up for yourself, or you didn't be firm, where you feel it was right to be firm. Somewhere you feel it was right to be firm, but you didn't have the the courage to stand up, and that makes you more angry with yourself.
Yes.
Than the situation or what that person said, it makes actually that nags you and irritates you because that agitates you because you know somewhere that.
But I would say that is a positive agitation because it will slowly make you stand up one day.
But then
and after that, it's the only choice. I did stand up for myself. I mean, politely, but you stand up. You felt good.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The point is, see, the point is simple.
Yeah.
if you go on suppressing anger,
it will not go away.
Right? It is not only it will not go away. Please understand.
Yeah.
Anger suppressed. Anger suppressed has to come out somewhere.
Yeah.
It will come out as disease. It will come out as some other mental illness. It will disturb your sleep. Or in some other area you will be showing your frustrations. So, you know, it has to come out. You cannot take it in. Lot of people, they think by keeping quiet, they have resolved the situation. They have solved it. They have not. You've made the situation worse. You've weakened yourself even more. You understand? That's what I'm saying. So it's somewhere when the bottle is opened, how the whole thing comes out. Like that it can come out.
But Guruji, when you say to be aware, suppose someone is angry with you, okay? If at that moment, you know, whatever you say will cause even worse reaction, you want to keep quiet then and say whatever you want a little later. Because to that situation at that time, if you speak up or even make a reaction saying that is not okay with you, I've seen gets a lot more.
But then later speak up and clear it out. Sometimes I feel
we don't avoid the confrontation.
Exactly. You need not see. There is no point saying something when a person is angry. You are right, because he is also going to react. But at least you have to make sure that sort of a behavior. See, if you see, it's very interesting. When a person drinks alcohol. Have you ever seen this where he drinks alcohol and regularly goes to some other house? He only goes to his house. However much he is drunk. Isn't it? However much he is drunk, he goes to his house.
Nobody else will accept
him. He doesn't even go. He's not become so much that he is lying on the gutter. That's a different matter. You understand? So what I am trying to say is, when a person is angry also, it's not that he is totally, if he is totally lost it, then he will be in somewhere, mental asylum. So yes, he is almost lost it, he or she. So you know, that thing is there. So you are making sure, just telling them, this behavior of yours is not accepted by me. I am not going to say anything I have to say because you are not in the position to accept. Let's discuss this later on. But don't do this next time with me. What I'm trying to say is, they won't go and do this when with somebody else who will give it back to them. That's my point. So you are a soft target, they go on doing it to you. This is my point. That's why I brought that alcohol example. Would they shout with somebody else? However angry they are. With somebody else they're behaving, no? So what does that mean? Think about it.
See what happens in situations is sometimes with somebody else they'll take it back, but with you they won't take it.
No, because that other person.
You are thinking like that. See, if you have already believed in something and you've made a belief out of it, nobody can change you. You are not going to come out of it. Your belief system is that if I say something, then I had it. This is your belief system. You've been shouted at all the time. You understand? So you. Now keep quiet. Your belief system is that if I say something, that's it. If that person says something, they'll also. In other words, what Avantika is saying is, if XYZ says something, then this fellow also will keep quiet. But if I say something, they will not keep quiet, it will become worse. This is your belief system. Now I can't change it. If you already decided on this, then nobody can change it. That's what I'm trying to say.
But how to break out of it?
This is what I'm saying. You stand up. How to break means what? You can't expect Rama to take avatar and come and save you. You understand? You have to stand up.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. Otherwise, like the show, you must stand up. You can't. See, that is what I told you. Don't forget what we've discussed before. Because I personally feel it's the same question that is coming in different forms.
Yes.
See, basically what is happening is, you must continue your service in any relationship. Whether it is husband and wife, father, mother, parents, children, whatever may be the relationship, friends, a boss, colleague, whatever it might be, You continue your service. But in the areas where you have to put your foot down and say, no, thank you. It's not taken. I've seen this happen, you know, in the organizations. Boss will shout, but with reference to this guy, he'll be very careful. Because he'll give him back. He'll say, excuse me, what are you saying? He'll say, okay, if the mistake is mine, I'll take it. You point that out, but don't get personal. You're getting personal. That's not allowed. You understand? So he knows, okay, he's made a mistake, he accepts it, he does it, that much he's okay. But if he crosses the boundary, he knows he'll get it back. See, for that you need that strength, intellectual strength. What you are now doing is, what I was telling Avantika, Avantika spelled it out, you're not spelling out, that's all. But what everybody does is this, that is, even there, she's saying, I'm not at fault. I'm not having the problem. They don't have the capacity to take it. Then it is me. No. You are weak. You are intellectually weak to stand up. You are not still accepting. That's my point. You still feel, no, it's not correct. I should not say something. Then they will get angry. Because they are weak. No. You are weak. You better stand up. If you think you are being pushed, then don't thereafter come and try to seek.
The belief system that we should not talk to our elders loudly.
I'm not saying you should talk loudly. Let me tell you, you need not talk loudly all the time. It is not how loudly you speak that is important. It is how, what you say. Even if you say one thing, you can clearly say, this is not acceptable.
Yeah, but we've been doing push, don't change anything. And then we say that we are up like a weapon.
Let it be. Your point is, there is going to be friction. Let it be. There is already a friction. It is unmanifest, that's all.
Friction.
Exactly. Let it be. Face it. Then you see the point is, first of all, what you people are not understanding is, see, they say, when a tiger, supposing you're facing a tiger in the forest, tiger is essentially an insecure animal. Tiger is essentially an insecure animal because it is killing and eating. Anything that is destructive in nature is insecure. Out of their insecurity, they will attack. Like when a tiger attacks, it is attacking out of its insecurity. A cow is not a destructive animal. A goat is not a destructive animal.
Destructive.
Is insecure. A destructive person will be insecure. You know, a lizard on the wall. You are just tapping the table, the lizard runs. Why? Because the lizard is constantly destroying mosquitoes and all the other insects. Anybody who is egoistic and destructive and selfish is insecure. So that person's anger is out of his insecurity or her insecurity. Okay? So what they say in the forest, when you, supposing a tiger, you come in front of a tiger and the tiger is looking at you, they say you look directly into the eyes of the tiger. Now you may say, wow, it's not easy to say. But what they say is, it's true. They say if you see directly in the eyes of them, they run away. They run away. Realize, exactly. That is what I'm trying to say. So when a person is shouting at you out of anger, it is mainly because of their destructive nature and selfishness and insecurity. So now you are also insecure. So what you are doing is, you are also running away, you are also going into your shell, and you are doing that. Instead of that, you face directly on their eyes and say, excuse me, what did you say? And you continue serving. Means your duty, you do. In the context, whatever is your duty, you do. Oh, what if the relationship breaks? It's already broken. My point is, it's already broken. Let me tell you, many places you put yourself into such a dependency condition, therefore you are not able to fight back. See, women today in India, one of the reasons, I'm not saying this is the main reason, but one of the reason is now women can stand on, are standing on their legs. They are earning, they are standing on their legs. Now, you see, financial freedom is there, for example. That financial freedom, I'm not saying it should lead to divorces. But now they say, okay, hey, come on, take care. If you behave like this, let us part, no problem. They're willingly going to that extreme. Why? Because some freedom is there, some independence is there. It's not worth living without independence. And if you put yourself in such dependency all the time, you are going to be like this. They don't come and say, how to face it? How to face it means what? You can't be dependent and then face it. You can't be like that. You have to move from dependency to independency. And that can only come through knowledge, by taking in of this knowledge, with thinking, developing your intellect. So one day you will say, stop it. Like they show in Bollywood movies also, they show, no? Going on hitting. So suddenly one fellow comes and stops that guy. How did you stop me? Then the fact that he stopped, then lot more people collect in behind him. Then the other fellow gets scared. See, it's basically he's scared. That's my point. And he's been pushing on you. Now you are also like that. Now once you stand up, you are actually scared that things will become worse. No, it won't. There may be an extreme case, they may say, okay, let us part ways, let us divorce. Fine. Because that has gone to the extent, but otherwise, let me tell you, 99 out of 100 cases, where they will understand quickly, oh, okay, let me be careful, I can't say anything I want. Because other times, I'm talking about a housewife scenario, homemaker scenario, she's making sure that things are there, everything is there, and I just can't push her, then I know. She's not denying what is rightfully to be given as a homemaker. But when I try to act smart, then she pounces on me. Therefore, he will also understand. If he's so mad, then obviously he'll go to the extent of divorcing or whatever. That's fine. Why you want? If you say, no, no, sir, I don't want to go to that extent, I want to be like this, then okay. Then there at least, let it be a choice. Then frustration is not there. Then you are not allowing that person to disturb you. You have chosen to be like that. See, now why this frustration is coming? Because you have not chosen to be like that. Supposing you choose, okay, if it gives them satisfaction to take me as the punching bag, let them do it. And I am not going to be reacting to that. I have at least taken a decision. Now, that is fine. At least move to that extent. Neither here nor there situation you are all in. Therefore, the frustration comes. I am saying, there is a story in Purana where a lady, young woman, married woman, was living in the forest with her husband, who was a tapasvi. And they were living a simple life. And she was once moving in the forest towards the river to get some water in a pot. And that time, the prince of that country had come on his horse to hunt. He sees her and she's so beautiful. So he gets down and goes and proposes, I would like to marry you. She says, I'm already married. He says, no, I want to marry you. And he tries to, take her. Then he runs after her, and after few kilometers of running, she swoons and falls down. He takes some water from the pitcher and puts it on her face. She opens her eyes. The princess reduced to ashes. That's what the story says. In other words, she was not running to save herself. She's such a prativrata. She had the power. When she only looks at him, he will be reduced to ashes. So she was running to save the prince. So it should be that case, at least in your case. Supposing you know that the other person is out of insecurity, yelling at you and all that, you are just keeping quiet, not because you had no choice. Because you had choice, that's my point. At least with choice you keep quiet. That's a different matter. For the good of the family and all that. But if it was out of the choice, then this question itself will not come, how to tackle, how to battle and all. Means what? That means you have not done it out of choice. You have no choice, therefore you are doing.
That's why you are unhappy.
This is the point. So with the choice, you can either keep quiet, or with choice, you can stand up and fight. Both are fine.
Both are fine.
But with choice.
But
with choice.
You are weak, that's why you are not standing up.
With choice. Now when it becomes, see, it's like this, you're being pressed, you're willingly taking the pain. When it becomes too much, you say stop it. That's all. But being conscious. See, in a relationship, sometimes you have to, you take, you understand, you cannot all the time. So, but then later on you must talk to them, when they have cooled down. Listen, I kept quiet, not because I had no choice. I kept quiet because you were not in the position to listen that time. But I don't expect you to behave like this next time. You tell me what I have given to deserve such a treatment. You discuss that. You understand? Or you think such a person is so gross and you decided for whatever reason to keep the family intact and you are the strong person. You say, okay, I will not react. But like that lady, it should be out of choice. That's my whole point. Whatever you do, it should be out of choice. Not out of helplessness. A lot of people are living in life out of helplessness. This is the one that is leading to frustration. You understand? And let me tell you, in many cases, it is financially connected. In many cases, it is financially. One is financially connected, other one is honor of the family. And things like that is connected.
What will people say?
Really?
Yeah.
My family, you know, there is no broken marriage. Yeah. Something like that. So this is taken as advantage. This is taken as advantage. You must stand up. Otherwise, you will be used as a doormat. See, initially when they push you, if you had stood up, then they won't push you further anymore. But you left it, they pushed you, you've come to that extent now. So now the choice is left only, either you commit suicide or you murder that fellow. Either way you end up in...
But either way it was your fault.
Nonsense. That's what exactly my point is.
It's not their fault, it's your expectations.
So it is only by developing the intellect, which is through gaining the knowledge. So that's why I said every day sadhana continues, and particularly you do this kind of a methodology. That will help. Building awareness, building intellect, building discrimination only can help you to deal with it. All other methods are temporary. They can't give you a permanent solution. If there is any other method in which you can, any desire it may be, whether it is anger, whether it is alcohol, cigarette, whatever it is, you can only conquer through your intellect, with your awareness. There is no other way. There is absolutely no other way. So, in the initial stages itself, you brought the intellect, then it wouldn't have led you to the destruction of the intellect. But if you let go, then the whole thing collapses, it becomes difficult.
I want to ask one thing. See, the two situations, let's say one is intentions are pure, there's that, and the strength is there, and with awareness you lead your life. Sometimes, in some situations, when it is too much or unfair or whatever, and mentally one lets go of that situation, you let go of your desire, how come then it suddenly works beautifully? I'm talking about a different kind of letting go. How come it works? I just
no, I don't understand what you're asking.
Okay. You know, you let go of, say, some... let's say something's happened to someone which is unfair. Okay, and that person is angry, seething, reactionary. Then suddenly, well, that person decides, okay, I'm going to let go of that unfair treatment in my mind. I let go of it.
How did you let go?
Mentally.
How, that's mentally is what I'm talking about. How did you let go mentally that easily? Letting go of the situation mentally is not easy.
Yeah, but let's say someone lets go. Then why does a reverse happen that it works out very nicely? Nicely meaning it just then... Is it because the mind doesn't get bothered? Because you let go of that?
No.
Yeah.
No. See, please understand this. I don't know whether you're asking this, but let me explain, then you confirm whether you're asking this. You see, somebody says something which is so bad. You usually react. But sometimes you say, okay, chalo, let me just forgive that person. That's what I say, right? Let me just forgive him or her, whatever
situation,
whatever. I just forgive that, right? Then you see that the situation happens that person nicely behaves with you. The situation turns out to be good. Is that what you're asking? This is what law of resistance does. You know, when you resist, it will persist. You did not resist. You forgave. Then the situation will not come back. The more and more you resist, the more and more it will come back. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When you are suppressing your anger, you are resisting. You have not expressed your anger, but resistance is continuing. Right? On the contrary, if somebody stood up, when I say stand up, I don't mean you also become angry. I mean, you with awareness, you put it across. You're not resisting. Then it doesn't persist. But supposing you also held back, then you resisted, then the karma cycle will continue.
Karma cycle
will continue. Anything you resist, you understand. So what you are saying is, firstly, it is not easy, just like that, for somebody to forgive. But if somebody has risen to that height where he is able to let go, forgive, and say, okay, whatever he or she has done, whatever that situation, they behave that way, and mentally forgive. I actually ask for pardon for them from God. Just like that. I'm saying emotionally now. Then the fact that you are inside, removed the reactions, you will see such scenarios not happening to you also. Or reducing. Which is a fact.
Many times it's happened, even for small situations.
Yes.
Sometimes you just take a back seat or let go. And it's...
Let go, listen. Again, this word let go is a big problem. So I'm coming again and again. When you say let go, it is out of helpless, passive let go, then it's not letting go. Then it is resistance at a, not subtle, at a suppression level. Okay? Now when you let go with intellectual awareness, that is true let go. A lot of people, they say let go, they are letting go because they are passive and no choice, they are helplessly letting go. The helpless letting go means there is still resistance. Suppressed ho gaya. That suppressed situation will bring such a scenario again and again. There will be somebody else behaving, misbehaving with you. Haven't you seen molestations and things like that? Some people, for them it happens again and again.
Yeah.
You wonder, why God, how can this happen? A rape victim finds herself being raped many times. I've heard from people, you wonder, how is this possible? Basically you wonder, what is this? This is nothing but resistance. Karma theory explains this. When you resist, it persists. So when you say let go, it is easier said than done. Unless you have developed intellectual awareness, you are not going to let go. If you really listen to that height, that's exactly what I am also saying. Let go with awareness, then it will not come back.
See, what I mean letting go, I don't know, you can tell us which category that falls into, whether it's a suppression or it's a, let's say there's a situation which is, someone is very petty stoop to the whatever depths of pettiness and ego, and it's sort of against, say, me, supposing. Then I first is anger, irritation. You don't know what to do, you read books, this, that. Then you say, chala, I'm going to just close my eyes and let go of the situation. So I'm not suppressing it, but I don't know whether it is into that intellectual awareness and I'm letting go, but I just say, just to save my mind, I'm just going to let go now. Let the person do whatever the person is doing, but I'm going to carry on with my life with all those.
That is to some extent it is an intellectual exercise. It's an intellectual exercise. See, it is to some extent you are not able to totally disconnect, but you are bringing your intellect and trying to disconnect from it.
Yeah.
Right. When you try to bring in your intellect and disconnect from it, it is an intellectual exercise. So to that extent it is not resistance. To that extent you will see that such situations don't repeat itself also.
And somehow just
that's what I'm saying.
For the better, I mean, otherwise nicer things happen in your life.
That's what I'm saying. Basically, because you consciously decided. See, this is consciously taking a decision. Okay, it has happened, it has agitated me and all that is fine, but now I'm going to leave it behind me.
Yeah.
And move ahead. And you consciously using your intellect do it. Then this is nothing but an intellectual exercise, what you're talking about. That is fine.
But then sometimes, I mean, like you let go.
Let go like this is okay.
Yeah.
But let go like, chalo, passively you let go.
You decided that you're okay, like you're going to do whatever you need to do to get, like in my case, try to get whatever. I mean, my shares and all are still with them. So, you're going to try and obviously you have to get that. But now, I mean, you decided, let me live my life. Happily. So is that letting go and let me live my life happily and not get involved in them and what they said and why they said and how they said? Because I was really involved in what they said to me and why they said it and how did they say it to me. The same way like Avantika said. They wanted, one sister wouldn't have done it to my other sister. She'd have given it back to her. Look, she did it to me. Those were the questions which kept happening in my mind. Now I decided, forget it. Whatever I have to do, I'm doing. And we were also not that stupid. We also made sure that at least my company comes to me. Whether something else comes to me or not doesn't come to me, because this company is actually financed by my husband.
No, see, so the point is,
now
in your case, because I know a little bit of background which you've told me, if you say that whatever they said in the past, which I used to brood over, I've decided I'm not going to brood over. But with reference to getting back what belongs to me, I filed a case or whatever and that's going on. Right? I am not brooding over the past and I'm consciously going into work, then it is an intellectual thing.
But I still sometimes go back to it.
Obviously, because your intellect is still not established 100%. So little bit here and there you'll go back. But with this study, reflection, and see, like I said, once a week if you attend class, nothing much will happen. Now you should sit down every day, like I said, 1 hour. Think, reflect on what you're studying. Then you're building your exercise, I mean intellect. Then you're exercising your intellect. So that is the way to go. Right? Otherwise, once a week you simply meet and then we discuss, nothing much will happen. Little bit progress will be there, not much. So in your case, how they spoke about me, all those things, I'm not going to brood over. I'll leave it behind. But I am going to fight a case. That is there in the court. That is fine.
No, I mean, I'm not fighting the case, but we are.
What I mean is,
to solve that problem.
That's what I'm saying. Either you should be like Buddha. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. Either like Buddha, he walked out. Mm-hmm. He walked out. He never bothered who the kingdom is going to go away to. What is going to happen? Even not at all thinking about it. Either you be like Buddha, or you stand up and fight for your rights. Don't be like Arjuna in the battlefield in the beginning. This is what Krishna told him, right? They go. You move away, move away. Be like Buddha. If it was Buddha, Arjuna, Krishna would not have given Bhagavad Gita to him. He said, yes, I am with you. Let's go and meditate. You are interested also and you are passive also. That is wrong. So you, if you are still doing it, please don't do it. No. You are not Buddha yet.
Yes.
So what are you supposed to do? And you are not caring for somebody else's wealth. Something that rightfully belongs to you, You deal with it, whether it is in the court or whether it is with some elder, whatever it is, deal with it. What they said about you, how they said that, how they taunted you, how passive you were in the past. In the past he had a mustache, he doesn't have a mustache now. How does it bother me? Now in the present, I am taking the corrective measures, I walk my path. This is the intellectual way of doing it.
Yeah, but sometimes
they're
still...
It goes when people bring you back.
Yeah.
If it goes, then you say, oh, see, where are you going there? Come back.
Yeah.
Like the dog, sometimes go to quickly bring it back.
Mm.
Like you're taking the dog for a walk. Quickly bring it back.
Mm. So it's not that...
You are not still 100% established so that your thought doesn't even go there. But at least you are aware when it goes. So bring it back. That's all.
Guruji, very often talking about anger, a person is angry at you and you don't know the reason that you're calm. You say, okay, we'll tackle it later when he's calmed down or whatever. But at that, even at when the situation is kind of dissipated and all, if that person doesn't see reason, or you're not able to, that person, you know, it's not still solved, what do you do when the person is not able to still see reason about the thing?
See, whether the person is, we are talking about how to handle your anger. Now you are talking about that person's anger, you can't deal with it, he has to deal with it. You can only make sure that that person's anger doesn't affect you. That person doesn't see reason and that person is not coming out of anger, how can you help him? You can only talk about how to overcome your anger, how to not get affected by somebody else's anger. That we have discussed. Now you are saying, that fellow is still not calmed down, he's still not becoming able to see the reason, how can I help? How can I help? I have to wait. Sometimes it takes 9 months, sometimes it takes 1 year, sometimes it takes 5 years.
Doesn't matter whether it happened or not happened.
Yeah. You can't help it. The nature is different.
Don't you also do a lot just to get accepted in society?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
weakness. Yes.
That's a weakness.
Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.